Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. Floyd, I want to take you back to a simpler time in my life. The year was 2018. The month was November.
2018?
Mm-hmm. What? Where did you think I was going with that?
I don't know. I thought we were going on some kind of trip. We ended up going a couple months ago.
I want to go back to a time in my life when things were simpler. 2018, the month was November. So it literally was a couple months ago. The month was November, and I was feeling good about the Tennessee Titans. They had gone to Dallas and had crushed the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. I thought Jason Garrett might get fired the next day. And surely they couldn't follow that up with a great performance against the greatest quarterback, greatest coach of all time. But they did. They stomped on the New England Patriots so badly that Brady had to make a trophy at the trophy store and give it to Vrabel. And then come the Indianapolis Colts, who started the year like 1-8 or something crazy like that, or 1-5 or whatever it was. And Indy was hotter than a firecracker. And Floyd was worried all week. And I was worried too, and I picked the Colts, which is funny because all week Floyd was talking about how worried he was of the Colts. And I spent all week saying, stop being so worried about the Colts. And then when it came time to pick, you picked the Titans and I picked the Colts. But which just shows us how we
typical,
live.
Yeah.
But that game, final score, Indianapolis 38, Tennessee 10. And honestly, it wasn't even that close. Andrew Luck, who obviously will not play Sunday, 23 of 29, 297, three touchdowns. Marlon Mack, 16 carries, 61 yards, one touchdown. T.Y. Hilton, 9 catches, 155, and two touchdowns. Dean Pease, with an incident before the game, had to go to the hospital. Vrabel had to call the plays. In comparison to Dean, no offense to Vrabel, he was terrible. And that obviously hurt. Mariota was 10 of 13 for 85 yards in an interception, including taking a sack early in the game when it was tied that took the Titans out of field goal range. In fact, Blaine Gabbert at 11 of 16 for 118, one touch and one pick, was significantly better than Mariota in that game. In one half of football, Marcus, again, threw an interception, which was a horrible interception along the sidelines, and took four sacks. So should I be worried that since Frank Reich has been the coach, Matt Eberflus has been the defensive coordinator, Marcus Mariota has played exactly one half of football against him, and it maybe has been the worst half that he played all of last season, which is saying something considering how bad at times he was last year.
Well, I mean, Marcus will learn off all of that. I mean, hopefully we're... The part that is strange about this defense, it's not... This defense doesn't do anything to mentally fool you.
Isn't the way you made it out to me to be is they'll let you get 8 yards. They just won't let you get 80 yards.
Yeah, I mean, they're a zone defense. They play a very simple zone defense, but that's all they play in theory. Now, nobody only plays one thing, but they play a ton of it, and they get so good at it that they can adjust to whatever, you know, because they're a series of patterns that really, really hurt the coverage. Well, they know that, and they get so good at responding to those patterns whenever they start to develop that they go ahead and cover them. You know, they've got ways to do it. So they get really, really good at it. And I don't know what – I mean, I remember watching Marcus, and I get the impression sometimes that he's like – frustrated, you know, not knowing what's going on. And the coverage is just so simple that it shocks me. But, I mean, he did not play well, gave up a bunch of sacks. They put good pressure on him. And that's what scares me as much as anything. I mean, I don't, you know, we talked all last week about the offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. We really haven't mentioned the offensive line. And guess what? It's no better now than it was before last week.
No, Arthur Smith did everything he could in the toolbox in order to disguise what the problems were.
This is the same offensive line that we were concerned about last week, and so we need to be concerned about it this week, and hopefully Arthur's come up with another master plan that will at least help that.
What I wonder about that first game against the Colts, and so some of these were Gabbert throws, most of them probably were Gabbert throws, but in the game, the Titans completed 12 balls to the receivers in that game. So a combination of Marcus and Gabbert. But three to Ferkser, who led the team, by the way, with 44 yards receiving. T.Y. had 155. Ferkser had 44 to lead the Titans. Ferkser had 3. Janu had 6. Stocker had 2. Pruitt had 1. That's more than the 8 balls, so 12 to the tight ends, 8 to the receivers, 2 to Davis, 5 to Sharp, 1 to Cam Batson, and then Deion Lewis had 1 catch. Is this a game where Delanie Walker's got to be Marcus's primary target because of that zone defense that you talk about, that Marcus has got to first read Delanie?
Well, the middle of the field, this what this is the corners stay outside and stay short.
Is this a Tampa 2 defense?
Yeah, it's a Tampa 2 defense. And the secondary, the two safeties are deep. The hollow part of the defense is the middle of the field. So however you threaten that middle of the field and hopefully split the safeties, that's where you get. Now, what they've done is, because they've been doing this for a while, is they've adjusted, and they've got, for example, linebackers that are not big, strong power, but man, they can all run. Because they've got to run in these defense. There are patterns where they'll have to take a receiver on a crossing route clear to the other sideline. And that's where you want to, you know, when you get that matchup, that's when you want to get that ball to that guy. You've got a middle linebacker that's running with the middle receiver, or a receiver that goes down the middle of the field, and he runs with him all the way through. Well, if it's a tight end, that's great. Because maybe he can run with the tight end. The key is to get a receiver in that spot. So then what people will spend time trying to figure out a way to get a receiver up that seam, because the linebacker, I don't care who you are, you can't run with the receiver. And so, you know, then you get a chance to threaten it. But I mean, Indy knows all this, and because they do it so often and play it so well, they get pretty good at you know, covering their weak spots.
So are you worried about Marcus in this game? For some reason, I'm worried about Marcus in this game because Marcus has not been good in his career against the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, the Titans have been pretty bad overall against the Indianapolis Colts, but Marcus especially, even in some of the games, the two games they won, one of them he was completely limited by injury, and they won that game, and he played okay. The one on the road at Indy 2 years ago, Derrick Henry had to save them in the fourth quarter in order to win that game. He was just terrible. And for some reason, Marcus does not play well against this team, and I don't know why, and that is a big worry for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to come out of all that. Now, that may be, too, you know, what you're calling. I mean, the coordinator has a lot to do with, because if you're trying to run things that you know they're going to cover, I mean, you're just kind of wasting your time, and that's when the rush gets to you. Because they don't, if you look at these guys, generally speaking, when you play this concept, your inside two DTs are big, strong, massive guys, because they have to two gap, because you're playing a guy short. And Indy doesn't necessarily have those two guys. Now, they've got big guys. They've got tall guys, but they don't have the 350-pound guys. And then their outside rush guys are more like their defensive ends are more like our outside linebackers, in that they're you know, 6'4", 255-pound guys that can all run pretty good. And that's where you get threatened, where your quarterback gets threatened from a pass rush standpoint.
So I'm looking at Marcus's career stats against the Colts. It's kind of I can't believe I'm saying this. It's kind of amazing, you know, that he in this, you know, in his career against the Colts, it's actually, you take the numbers side by side with the Jags. Now he's 8-6 in his career. No, excuse me. He's 6-2 against the Jags. He's 2-4 against the Colts. Has technically a higher completion percentage against the Colts than he does the Jags, 66% to 64%. He's got, against the Colts, though, he's got 8 touchdowns, same as the Jags, but he's got 6 interceptions, 3 against Jacksonville. He's got 6 interceptions in 6 games against the Colts, and he's got 3 fumbles to go with 16 sacks that he's taken against the Indianapolis Colts.
Holding on to the ball.
Holy smokes. Where does that come from?
Hold on to the ball.
16 sacks against one team. You've been in the league for 5 years.
Waiting for guys to get open, waiting for guys to get where they're supposed to be, or you're just holding on to the ball. But, I mean, the bottom line is you have to remember in a lot of those games they were
down.
Yeah. And so, you know, the whole fourth quarter they're pass rushing every snap and getting pressure that way. That's why running the ball is going to be so very, very important this week, because we're going to have to go in and eat up the clock and protect him from all that.
615-737-1025. You worried about Marcus this week? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Arthur Smith dialed up everything well against Cleveland. But I'd be saying that it's going to be a little bit harder this week, especially now that the Colts have a tape to adjust to. Should we be worried about Arthur? Should we feel good about Arthur? We'll get Floyd's take on what you think Arthur Smith has got to do now that somebody's got a film on him. That's coming up next. Live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Silly Underdog Picks is back. Get a group together if you'd like, or do it yourself. But pick three college football underdogs you think will win this Saturday. Weekly winner this week will get a pair of tickets to see Vandy LSU at Vanderbilt Stadium on Saturday, September 21st. Go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game mobile app and play now. Silly Underdog Picks brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How different is the defensive challenge you'll face this week? I mean, they run a lot more zone, don't they?
Yeah, every week you got a challenge. I mean, everybody's good, but this is a really good defense. And Matt Eberflus does an awesome job, and those guys fly around. They play hard. Their secondary coach, John Gannon, he and I shared an office for 2 years, and John's a really good football coach, and their secondary is well coached, good technique. So we got a heck of a challenge.
Arthur Smith, by the way, he was asked, so has John Gannon called you this week? He said, no, he has not. So Arthur Smith.
As who call you?
John Gannon. He was talking about, you know, we shared an office together, and he's a good secondary coach or whatever. Someone said, so has he called you? And Arthur said, he has not. But Arthur Smith got the game ball after week one. Floyd, you couldn't have said more nice things about Arthur Smith on Monday's show about the job he did
after
calling
week
the game.
One, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
What's different now going into week two? Now that there's a tape on Arthur Smith, now that the Colts, and you know they've dissected that Cleveland game 100 times over, trying to figure out Arthur Smith. Now, my whole thing with Arthur Smith is I thought he called a great game in week one, and he kept Cleveland off balance, but I think he had a little assistance too. Cleveland committing all those penalties kept you in good down and distance situations, and then when you had the lead, it opens up the playbook, and so Arthur, I think, got the benefit, as did everybody else on that team from Cleveland on Sunday. What is going to be the challenge for Arthur in a week now where people are going to be able to adjust to what he wants to do as a play caller?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, that game was so different, so unique, that I'm not sure they can get as much from it as you think they can. And I think part of it is just what you said. It's like, you know, there was at least one, maybe two entire drives that were kept alive by penalties. And so, you know, when you got to a point, you got down and you knew you were going to run a certain play, and then there's a penalty, and then, you know, you go on to the next one. Well, it messes up what you're trying to do and what you're looking for. But, I mean, the key thing for him is he's got to keep expanding what it is he's doing, you know,
You can't call the same plays every game.
And every game is going to be so different. I mean, and that's why, you know, it really takes you, you know, the old days you'd say, you don't believe anything until you've seen at least three films. And after three films, if you can draw some kind of conclusion, okay, they really like this, they really like, you know, these 10 things, then you're at least headed in the right direction. Now you've got to go on and continue looking. But it takes you that long to at least have some kind of feel for what it is they're going to do. So I think that game is – I worry more about the other way. I worry more about the fact that we think we did a really good job of driving that ball downfield and when we didn't. You know, when they helped us the whole way.
I mean, the first drive, Vrabel kept talking about how important the first drive was to kick the field goal to make it 6-3. They got like three first downs on penalties.
Oh, yeah. And even though he was right, that was important and we needed to do it. I mean, for us to say, okay, well, you know what? We lined up and we just kicked their butt for a giant drive and got down and scored, and that made all the difference in the world. That ain't the way it worked. And so I'm worried. You know, I get worried sometimes when I see these things, and I'm not just like the offensive line. You know, you're saying, well, look at what we did this series or that series, or look at how we threw it, or look at how we protected Marcus, or whatever it is you're trying to talk. Well, you know what? That was great for that game, but we're not expecting that this week because it's going to be totally different. And the things you're going to see and the players you're going to see and the caliber of the players and the type players and the situations in the game, all of that is going to be really, really different. So, but he's got to keep expanding. He's got to keep, you know, he's not, for example, the two little play passes that he threw touchdowns to Delaney. Both of those are kind of, I don't want to call them trick'em plays, but they're a little bit gimmicky, mm-hmm. you know, in that you're relying on them releasing a guy because the guy's blocking, and as soon as they release him, then he gets in the pattern and the ball's thrown to him. And, well, that's not a normal, you know, just line up, come off the ball. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying that. But you can't make a living doing that. You know, it's a good change up. And there are certain times and places for all of that. But we're going to have to get down there, like when we get inside the red zone, and we're going to have some legitimate passes and runs that come out with touchdowns. Field goals, this is another game like we talked about last week where field goals not going to be enough, you know, because they're going to, you know, I mean, as much production as they've had offensively against us,
With Andrew Luck at quarterback.
You got to think at a point in time that, you know what, they're going to find Hilton open. I mean, we, for whatever reason, cannot cover that guy. And the two tight ends scare the heck out of me.
So I think with me, I never got too high or too low on Arthur Smith on Monday or Tuesday or whatever. I mean, I thought Arthur Smith called a great game against Cleveland. But for me, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this. This is a big test for Arthur Smith. Because what happens is how many calls did we take Monday where fans were like, I believe in Arthur Smith? And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that was one game against Cleveland. Let's wait and see. You know, let's give it a second. Let's get, before we anoint Arthur Smith the greatest offensive play caller that ever existed, let's give it a couple of games and let's see and all of that. And I still think Arthur Smith called a great game. But to me, it's like, this is a step up. You know, the Browns are stupid. We know that. The Browns have always been stupid. The Browns will probably always be stupid. They're stupid. They had the coach that couldn't cut it in Arizona. He was their defensive coach last week. They had the other coach, Freddie Kitchens, who was on the sidelines throwing a temper tantrum like Eric Cartman. That's not going to happen this week against Frank Reich. And so this is a team Marcus has traditionally struggled with, and I'm worried about the Colts, and I'm worried about Arthur against the Colts. So to your point about the gimmick stuff, I'm okay with the gimmick stuff as long as you got more gimmicks to go to all the time, because what happens is once you do it the first time, you're not going to be able to do it the second time. So as long as you can kind of keep coming up with it, I guess I'm okay with it. But to your point, I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball to Corey Davis, and he's going to have to get up and go get it. They're going to have to run the ball with Derrick Henry when everybody knows they're running it, and they're going to have to get hats on guys, and they're going to have to get Derrick Henry into the second level. I don't know if they can do that with this offensive line, but to your point about Arthur, eventually they're going to have to do that. So I'm cautiously optimistic would probably be the way I would say it about Arthur Smith. And he called a good game week one, but week two is a whole different, better test.
And that's true for the whole team, you know, not just Arthur.
But well, I remember the whole team. Mariota's first year, they threw a touchdown pass to Kendall Wright. It was like a 60-yard touchdown pass. And then 4 weeks later, they play Miami, and that ball's a pick six. And after the game, the safety from Miami goes, that's the same play they scored the touchdown on against Tampa Bay. I just jumped the route. I'm like, Well, better start calling different plays there, Ken Wisenhunt. and that's kind of how I feel in regards to Arthur Smith, is hopefully he changes it up and all that kind of stuff. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What does a win on Sunday that makes you 2-0 against the Colts? What does that mean for the Titans? Because I think it means more than just being 2-0. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Did you know an estimated 1.2 million people in the United States are living with or are in remission from blood cancer? Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Light the Night Walk at Nissan Stadium Friday, November 1st. You can be the difference in saving a life by being a part of the 2019 Light the Night Walk. For more details, to be a part of the event or to contribute, visit the Light the Night. Visit lighttheknight.org/events/Nashville. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Indianapolis, for a long time, has been a thorn in their side, has been a hurdle that they have to overcome. And this week, in my opinion, is bigger than a playoff game, is bigger than a Super Bowl, because it's the changing of power. Now they can establish their stamp to say, hey, we're for real. They can now win. They can go out and prove they can win consecutive weeks and be consistent. So, you know, my message to them was take this game personal. There's games where you take as business, but then there are games you take as personal. For me, it was Baltimore. For me, it was Pittsburgh. For me, it was Indianapolis and Jacksonville. It was those games that get your attention because they count twice, but more importantly, is a shift of power.
Cincinnati and Cleveland never did it for Eddie.
I don't know.
He listed off every team they play in the division. Houston was expansion, so I'll give Eddie that. But, I mean, he's just listing off all these teams and never brought up the Bengals at any point in there. Indianapolis, the curse. It is the Colts. If the Colts win this game, it is officially the Colts' curse, in my opinion. If they cannot beat a Jacoby Brissett-led Colt team. They luck owned them. And when he retired, you can't tell me that the Titans weren't in that facility like, ooh, baby. You never want someone to retire. You never want to have to not play against somebody. You don't want someone to be hurt, something like that. But, ooh, baby. So, Floyd, what would a win Sunday to go to 2-0 mean for you? Do you think it's a sign of good things to come, or do you think it's just one win over one team to get you to 2-0? Corey Curtis brought up, by the way, that the Titans have only been 2-0 two times in their history as Titans. Both times the Titans finished 13-3. So, Floyd, would a win to go to 2-0 mean more than just being 2-0?
Well, I mean, you're beating a division opponent.
And an AFC opponent.
Which is, yeah, I mean, so that's, you know, that's worth an extra little bit. But, I mean, if you lose this one and turn right around, I mean, if you win this one and turn right around and lose to Jacksonville, you're right back where you started, you know. So it's 6-1, half dozen the others. But I mean, this I think being 2-0, there's nothing wrong with being 2-0, and there's nothing wrong with being 1-0 in the division. And there's nothing wrong with beating Indy, I can tell you that.
So, I think it's a lot more than that. I think it's a lot more emotional than that. I believe, oh no, Tiki Barber just picked the Titans. Crap. Because, you know, Tiki, he doesn't know anything about the Titans. He doesn't know anything about football. So, there you go. I think it is a lot more than just one game. I think it's a lot more than 2-0. Number one, I think a win on Sunday puts an end to the Colts' curse. Number two, I think a win is a message to everybody in the division that the Tennessee Titans are not just a threat to knock you out of it, but are legitimately a threat to win the AFC South with a win over the rival Colts in week two. I think three, the Titans, again, have only been 2-0 twice. They finished 13-3 both times. You want to get to 12-4? Got to start 2-0. I feel really good about that. I feel great about that. You got to stack wins at some point. This is your opportunity. If you can prove that you're good enough to beat the Colts, this is your opportunity to start stacking wins. And I think a lot of the positivity that the team took out of the week one win at Cleveland will continue to grow and seep through to their fan base for week two. You get a bad Jacksonville team maybe without a quarterback in week three. Atlanta has had their struggles in week four. The potential for a great season is there, but you cannot go one step forward, one step back with a loss to Indianapolis. All of the hard work you did at Cleveland, that's great, but it doesn't mean anything on Monday if you lose to Indianapolis. This is a chance to take a legitimate step forward for the team, maybe even the franchise, in terms of the big picture. This game is a lot more than one game, Floyd. This is a big-time game on Sunday.
Okay.
You don't feel like it's a big-time game.
It's a big-time game because it's Indianapolis and it's a division. I mean, that's all you need to know.
But the season could be riding on this game.
No! The season?
Well, last year.
No, no, no.
Last year you lost to them at home, kept you out of the playoffs.
No. Like I said, if you win this game, what are you going to say about Jacksonville?
Oh, man, don't lose to Jacksonville after winning the two games to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you lose to Jacksonville, and this game means nothing. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's to do all that kind of stuff that you're talking about, you got to get on a several-game roll, which means you don't make this game the most of it. I mean, this is the biggest game of the season because it's now. It's because it's this week. But next week be the biggest game of the season.
Oh, it's a big game. This is a big game. They have got to end the Colts curse, which is a thing.
The Colts curse was never even heard of until about two hours ago. when you started
the Colts,
nobody
curse.
even has heard of the
It is
Colts
a real thing.
Curse.
The Colts curse. Let's go to the phones. A Fireball Hot Take Friday. Mike is up next on Marcus. Thank you for calling. What's up, Mike?
Hey, thank you. I got two questions for you. And actually, I just thought of the second that was holding. One, do we have a coach curse or a luck curse? And then my second question is that I heard the GM mention that Marcus may have, you know, a little trouble reading coverages. So I'm wondering that if Russell Wilson comes in, Brady comes in, and Manning comes in the league, when they can pick up that pretty quickly. Is the reading coverages, is that taught, or is it just left up to the quarterback to pick it up on his own? You know, can we bring in a Dan Marino to teach Marcus how to read coverages, or does the quarterback just pick it up on his own? Thank you very much. I'll listen off air.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, all of that is taught. And I think part of Marcus's problem is that he's been taught several different ways by several different people. There are a series of patterns, for example, in the NFL that every team in the league runs. Same kind of pattern. And if you draw that pattern up and have a coordinator from Team A come in and describe that pattern to you and tell you where the ball should go and all those kinds of things, and then you bring in a coordinator from Team B and have him discuss it for you, he might tell you stuff different. It all changes for him. And the next guy that comes in might be a little bit different. And so what happens is you get caught. If you're Marcus, you get caught in a situation where, you know, you're listening to all these different guys tell you what to do versus a pattern and which one's best, which one's right. You know, you'd like to think the guy that's teaching you right now is right. But, I mean, we used to go through this with Steve, and this was a great thing about having Neil O'Donnell. I mean, Steve, you could tell, coaches would tell Steve, okay, you know, this is what we need to do, and this, and sometimes there's a lot of coach speak in there. Mm-hmm. And Neil would pull him aside and he'd go, you know what, forget all that. You need to watch this guy. If it's this coverage, you look at this guy, you get the ball to him. And he could just simplify the whole thing right down and make it to where it was easy for him to understand and learn.
JR is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, JR?
Not much. How are you, fellas?
Good.
Good. I was just going to say, we're talking about if we can stop Indy from running the ball or we can stop Indy from doing this or whatever. That's you're true in what you're saying. But if we had, and I hate to say this, if we had a quarterback that was a threat to throw a deep ball, this wouldn't even be a conversation.
You didn't think he threw the ball deep to A.J. Brown last Sunday?
Come on.
You don't think that ball in the first half was a deep ball to A.J. Brown?
Come on, Jarrett. I mean, come on, man. Yes, he did. But he floated, and he missed some people badly after that. And it's – and, I look, I like Marcus. But if he was a little more –
I just don't know how you can say if you have a quarterback that can throw a deep ball and he threw the deep ball and now you're not giving him credit for throwing the deep ball.
Jared, come on, man. Seriously. I like Marcus. If he could step his game up a little bit, I think we could go a long ways. I'm not sold on him. And I'm not knocking him.
What if Marcus throws for 350 and three touchdowns on Sunday against the Colts? Then will you do a 180? And say that you believe?
Well, I'm kind of like more than once. And when I say that, it's when you ask the GM, is he sold on the big dog? You have to see that.
More than six times.
Again,
I agree.
Again.
Thank you for the call, JR. Floyd, do you agree with the caller that Marcus's inability to throw the football down the field is something that is holding the Titans back?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it's holding him back and holding the offense back.
I mean, the caller's right. Eventually, he's going to have to hit some bombs.
He's said, I mean, and the caller's right from the standpoint that, the corner pattern he missed, you know, too sharp. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday because D-Mace kind of analyzed it. D-Mace spent a lot of time, I guess, looking at the film and came up with what he thought. And my problem was, right, wrong, or indifferent, I thought that was a spot pass. And I thought he was just laying it out there, going to put it on the spot, and was expecting the receiver to run under it. And I don't know if I'm right, wrong, or indifferent, but the way it looked like you missed him horribly. And I'm not sure if Sharp hung inside too long, because there was a defender there, and I think the defender might have been between him and the ball, and he couldn't get over to it. Or Marcus just missed it poorly, but it looked so ugly. You know, the visual is so bad on it that you see that pattern and you go, jeez. And let's face it, Marcus has not had great success with a lot of those kind of patterns. So when you see one that floats or when you see one that's not accurate, the first thing you think of is, up. Missed another one, you know, kind of attitude, right, wrong, or indifferent.
So that goes back to my theory of why throw the ball to Sharp when you have 500 people better than Sharp to throw the ball to. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Plus, what Eddie George had to say to the team. We'll get to that coming up here on Jared and the GM. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Guess what? They take great care of my home. So when it's 950 billion degrees like it is right now, I have absolutely no problems. They take care of us here at the office as well. So again, we have no problems. That's thanks to Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They take care of our HVAC. They take care of my plumbing. They take care of my electric. And they do a great job with all of that work. And I know I'm going to get a fair deal thanks to the fact that Hiller offers true transparency pricing. Hiller comes to the home. They give you a quote right there. Explain everything item by item. No hidden fees. No special fees. Nothing that's going to get you and nip you and slam you. That's what I love about Hiller. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. They take great care of my home. Plus, guess what? We'll see their logo right back there on the Bridgestone Arena ice next week when the Preds get back to playing some hockey. It's another reason why I love Hiller. They're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of those teams. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You've got to have a team that's locked in and loaded in terms of the chemistry. And the spiritual side of this is your ability to play together, is the love that you have for one another, the appreciation that you have for one another, how you build yourselves up. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I see that's different from any other team from the past, from last year to this year. You have the focus, you have the passion, you have the love. I see it. I see it. You guys have something special. Y'all have what it takes to win right now. Not just be mediocre. Not just get to the playoffs, but be true champions. For four quarters, 60 minutes, it's personal. That stadium is going to be on fire on Sunday. Those fans are going to be behind you. That emblem means a lot. That's all that was on my heart to say to y'all today, man. And just remember, man, you know, that Titan blue means something to everybody. Once you're in this family, it's always going to be that way.
Eddie George's message to the team yesterday. Floyd, what do you think of Eddie's message there to the team?
Oh, it's great. I mean, he's all that kind of stuff. He's a master at that because it's all coming from his heart, you know. That's the way he really feels. So he's special that way.
Let's go back to your phones. Eddie George Day on Sunday. We'll have Floyd's three things next hour. And then, as I put on the grid today, Floyd's story time. As I want to hear these stories about Steve McNair and Eddie George, and I think a lot of people will too. But in the meantime, your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. Huge game on Sunday. James has been waiting patiently. He's up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
All summer, we've listened to you take up for Mariota, and now it's game time. And we got 14 up 24. Now, I remember a drop screen pass, and I remember him throwing one at Derrick Henry's feet on another screen pass. Take away the 75-yarder. This dude is 175. I think Garen Tano threw for more than that in the last two games. Both. But it's time for the rubber to beat the road, man. This dude is not it. He's garbage. And just like your ex-girlfriend who broke up with you, Jared, that's not it.
What ex-girlfriend that broke up with me? I have no idea what he's talking about. You also can't just conveniently detach from the 75-yard touchdown pass. You can't just conveniently take away the execution of a great call and a 75-yard touchdown pass. You cannot take that away. And also, what's this whole thing about the rubber's got to meet the road? What do you mean? That's what the whole season is about, is the rubber finally meeting the road for Marcus. Nobody's denying that.
I like the girlfriend part.
What is he talking about?
The word's getting out. See, the word's on the streets. It's everywhere.
What word?
The word.
What word?
The word's out there.
I am an incredibly eligible bachelor. I like to be eligible. I will continue to be eligible. It's like an eligible receiver. Hey, number 37 is now eligible. Although he's always eligible. Number 77 is now eligible. I don't want to say that's LaJuan's number. Number 75, Benji Olsen, great Titan. Number 75 is now eligible. I'm always eligible. Most eligible bachelor in Nashville. That's why these magazines do these these top singles in Nashville and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, well, they didn't come interview me, so they obviously don't have a good enough list. Let's go to Mike, who's up next on the defense. Thank you for calling. What's up, Mike?
Hey, call me Mikey from Nashville. just so you can know that I'm going to call our defense being the number one defense at the end of the year. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Well,
and
that's...
I think that leads to Marcus being a great quarterback.
I would agree.
Defense wins games, right?
Yeah, but so what do you mean, number one by points or number one by yards?
Statistically, overall, in every category, I think. After watching that game, the best defense I've ever seen in the last...
Okay. They're not going to be in every category. It's ridiculous.
No. But I mean, if they can...
We need to decide right now. Are we counting them? Are we counting points or are we counting yards? What defines number one defense or number
points.
Two?
Points.
I like points, too.
I agree, but everybody else does yards.
Well, who's everybody else? The NFL? Or?
When it conveniently fits Floyd's narrative, he goes to the other one.
We all got a little flip-flop in us. The league, when they discuss defenses, they go to the yards. But you can use whatever you want, but by that standard, New England is never good. Mm-hmm. But you look at the points, I mean, they're always top 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, it's always like New England in yards is like 17th.
Yeah.
And then in points, it's fourth.
One or two.
You know, it's like, let's go to Big Papa. Thank you for calling. What's up, Big Papa?
Everything's good. Thank you for accepting my call. I just got a challenge out to all the Titan fans. Let's show up. Let's don't have more blue in that stadium than we're going to have blue, two-tone blue, whatever we do. And let's come and respect the two guys that are played many, many great years for us. I've watched them myself. And just show up and support this team like we've never done it in a while. That's all I got to say. Thank you for your call.
Thank you for that.
Good call, Big Papa.
I totally agree. Yeah. I hope the stands are packed with Titan fans on Sunday. I heard some people like, well, it's too hot. And I'm like, too hot? This is NFL football division game. What do you mean too hot? You know, it can't be too hot on Sunday. I am hopeful that we'll have a good crowd out there on Sunday. The Colts don't really have a lot of fans. So usually, unless the Titans are just horrifically awful, they don't pack the stadium like some of the other teams do. But I am hopeful that we'll see a good crowd on Sunday for the Titans.
Oh, I think it will. I think it will. It'll be a good crowd.
I mean, hell, even you're going to the game.
Be loud.
When's the last time you went to the game?
I go every once in a while.
No, you do not. Did you go last year when New England came here?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, I go. I sneak in and out. I mean, it doesn't.
Why don't you ever tell me you're going to the game?
Well, I mean, it's why. What good's it going to do?
I can ride with you over there after the pregame show.
I kind of bounce around a little bit.
I mean, the only game I know you went to is you went to the Packer game like 3 years ago.
Packer game?
Yeah, Sean, I guess, had a box or something like that. Your son had a box, and he wanted you to go.
That's right.
I remember you telling me Parrish Cox got an interception. You were walking out of the stadium when Parrish Cox got the interception, and you said, I didn't see it, so the ball must have caught him in the face mask in order for Parrish Cox to get an interception, something like that. I was dying when you said that. I was like, oh, no, he did not just say that on the radio. But then, other than that, I don't think you've been to a Titans game, to my knowledge, since the Green Bay game.
Oh, no. Green Bay, when was that? 2 years ago? 2016. Huh?
16.
Oh, yeah. I've been to a few since then.
Like what?
I mean, I go here and there.
Where do you sit?
I got places.
Where? Owner's box?
I got spots.
Do you go in the owner's box?
I got a spot I can sneak in. I mean, I got some friends.
Well, here's the thing about the GM that I know. And now this will be different. I'm sure there will be like a section or a box or a something for all of the Eddie and Steve people, and you're part of that. And all the former Titans that are going to be there. But the one thing I know you don't want to do, and this is no, and I'm using Bridgestone as an example here. I'm not calling out the CEO of Bridgestone. But the last thing you want is for like the CEO of Bridgestone to be like, hey, Floyd, what did you think of that play? Hey, Floyd, what did you think of this play? Floyd, what do we need to do here? Floyd, what are we going to do there? So I know you ain't sitting in the seats. And then I know you ain't going in a box, because if you're in a box, unless it's a box in which you know everybody in that box, they're going to be bothering you every snap. And you're not going to like that.
Well, unless you're with football people. Football people won't bother you.
So what football people have a box?
Well, I mean, a lot of football people have boxes.
Such as?
A lot of people. I mean, you think
Give me an example. No, I don't want to think about any other team or any other franchise.
The amount of money
I want to think about this Titans team.
Paying.
What football person has a box that you're sitting in during the game? You're sitting with J-Rob during the games, aren't you?
Oh, J-Rob's got his own little spot.
And that's where you're sitting?
No, J-Rob doesn't want any part of me.
So who else is in football over there?
Two old GMs, and that'd be miserable.
Who else is a football person that's got a box?
Well, I mean, how many? If you're going to spend whatever a box costs now, I have no idea.
Probably $250,000, maybe.
Okay, $250,000 for a box. I mean, you think you're not going to be a football person and do that?
You could be the CEO of Nissan and get a box.
Well, yeah, but I don't know the CEO of Nissan. So.
Maybe we should know him, Jared, the GM, driven by Nissan.
Yeah, good point. Probably should.
Coming up next. Floyd's three things, three up, three down, three things he wants to see against the Colts on Sunday, and three things he does not want to see. Plus, maybe we'll be able to sneak in some of your phone calls. 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and Floyd. It's ESPN 1025. The game first, though, let me tell you, Preds preseason ramps up with the first practice for training camp tomorrow at Centennial at 9:15. And then on Sunday, 2 o'clock, watch the Preds scrimmage at Fort Ice Center in Antioch. For more details, go to nationalpredators.com. I will not be able to make the scrimmage on Sunday, but I will be going to the game on Monday. So get excited about that. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.